Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guess it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Yes. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Jasmine Vasquez. Jasmine Vasquez is a former Jehovah's Witness who was raised in the organization for 38 years, but she has left the organization or cult as of November 2020. So Jasmine, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, totally. And so I pre-read your story, so I was very interested to hear it from you in detail, and I'm sure the audience want to know more. So the first question I have for you is, tell us a bit about who you are and what brings you joy.
So, well, I am a very happy person. Right now, like I said, I am a nurse. I graduated in 2005 in Puerto Rico. I practiced in Puerto Rico for 7 years in a pediatric hospital and 1 year in med-surg. I relocated in 2015. Then I had to take my boards in New York. After 4 attempts, I finally passed and I just got promoted in my own job. I'm a single mom of a 13-year-old boy. I practiced martial arts with him too. After I left the organization, I needed to find something, like you said, that makes me happy and fill that you know, that emptiness, that void that the cult left me with.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us your story from beginning to end, kind of a summary. What is your Jehovah's Witness story?
So I was like born and raised. My grandparents raised my parents, both of them, in the organization, and therefore when I was born, I'm there. So I don't have no clue what's going on outside the organization. So for me, that was my life. That was all there was. So yeah, my life was centered in their beliefs and their rules. So I did have a rough childhood. I couldn't be me, you know. Everything, I needed permission for anything that I wanted to do. I don't have that experience. Never had friends, never had that experience of hanging out like normal people do, go unite with their friends and go shopping, go see a movie. I don't know none of that. And now as an adult, and I do that, I feel weird. I feel uncomfortable. Like at this point, I shop alone. Shopping with people, it's intimidating. You know, I'm not used to it. But, you know, I will love to be able to enjoy it. But no, it's like, I don't know how to do those things. And they never taught me either about drugs or sex or none of that. And I had to learn that on my own. You know, when I was a teenager, 16 years old, that's when I started to experience with things in the world. I was innocent to all this, so for me, everything is okay. You know, so then, but when I got caught in all that, instead of them advising me or showing me that love and guiding me to the right direction, they just shut me down. You know, like I shared with you, 16 years old, that's when I first smoked pot with this guy. That's when I lost my virginity. And when my mom found out, she never talks to my dad, never. Like, they got divorced when I was 5 years old, and she dragged me to Puerto Rico from Rochester, New York. That's where I was born. And my dad stayed here, and I was all those rest of the years without a dad, having a dad. Like, that really sucks, you know, having a dad and been raised without a dad. That really damaged me deeply. So now she decides to talk to him. And my dad, I heard him laughing because he did try to still have that connection with my mom for my sake, but she wouldn't. But now that she's desperate, now a 16-year-old teenager doing all these things, now I'm the bad guy. And I used to share my bedroom with my sister. No, now I can't even talk to her because I'm a bad association for her, bad influence for her. So yeah, she shipped me to my dad in Rochester. I finished my 11th grade over here. That's another thing. She took me out of school. I couldn't finish my high school here, like a normal kid. You know, so now I had to struggle in school over here, getting adapted to the system. I was almost done with 11th grade. Then my dad decided to, because I wasn't helping him with money, like he was kind of charging me for being there. He was rushing my mom to get my pension out. Also, she wouldn't do it. Like I saw that everything was about the money. I hate money. They divide people. So yeah, he sent a fax on my behind my back to my mom, get your daughter back. So now I'm here like a ping pong ball, you know. Now I'm back to Puerto Rico, but now the things are really, really different. Now they're more strict. Now they send me to a private school up the mountain where I have no freedom to go and buy a soda in a gas station or nothing. I had to stay there. Peer pressure came along too. Like I got there as a new student in 12th grade, and that is a college where you start from pre-K. So everybody has their own friends. I'm the stranger one. So I suffered that, you know, and under peer pressure, I did something that I shouldn't. But I just to have that attention, I did it, and that got me expelled from the school. Good thing that I was done with, so I was able to pass the high school, but I couldn't participate from the graduation ceremony. And then after that, they called my mom for a meeting. Saying that that's not normal, so now I have mental issues. It's really not mental issues, but consequences. But not, it's all my fault, you know. It's all my fault. I'm the bad girl. So now that's when I started to see inpatient, partial hospitalizations, you know, all these things. And like I feel like they convinced me that I had a problem, you know. And now that I'm out, I really never did. It's, you know, it's weird. Like right now, I'm not even in counseling or medications or nothing because I enjoy what I do, and that makes me happy. Yeah, so now, you know, I'm here. Now I'm living on my own, and I'm managing, and my life is good, you know. So anyway, but when I first came here in 2015, my dad was the one who convinced me to come over and that he was going to help me. He sheltered me in his place for 10 days. Then he was like, you need to go. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. He goes, like, his complaint was, you're eating my kid's food. Like, who am I? I'm not your kid. But so, yeah, so now I had to spend all my retirement money that I earned as a nurse in Puerto Rico, you know, instead of helping me get on my feet in New York. I'm a pretty independent woman. You know, all I just needed was that push. But no, he was like, kicked me out again. You know, and that was like my life. Never had that support from them. Anyway, all that money is gone, and now I'm trying to build it up again. Okay. Then I meet this wonderful guy. He's not a Jehovah's Witness. I did decided to get baptized in April 2020. I really was putting all my effort in being the best Jehovah's Witness there was. I will always sit in the front row, prepare for all meetings, comment in the meetings, encourage others, preach, and all that. And I did enjoy it, even though there was some stuff that didn't make sense to me, but that I always thought that that was the truth and was the right thing to do. So I did my best. When I wanted to get baptized, the elders always knew that I struggled with loneliness. I always wanted to have a partner. But they go like, just wait, it'll come first and all that. Then one of the elders told me, and this like, wow. He goes like, just get in that water, and as soon as you get out, a good brother will come along. Well, okay, cool. I did it, but the brother never came along. And I started online dating. There's this website, JW Match, and this is where I met this guy that he was a 10-year he's been out of the cult for 10 years at that moment that I met him, but he was in the cult too, as born and raised just as me. And he started talking to me about the reality of the cult, and I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing? You are in JW Match. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters here. This is why I'm here. I'm looking for a partner in crime, right? So we can serve Jehovah together and all that. And he was like, this is how things are. You know, check this out, check this out. And I'm like, but I'm not supposed to, because you are not supposed to go through apostate stuff. You have to, if you need to know something, it has to be through their website, jw.org, nothing else. Everything else is a lie, and it's not reliable. It's just the devil work and all that. So, but he actually, I don't know, that he was so calm when he was telling me all these things that just make me think. And good thing that I'm an open mind, so I listen. And when I follow his suggestion, and I did my own research and read this book from the governing body, Raymond Franz, the Crisis of Conscience book, that book hit me hard. There was this one line that said that he was invited. He was invited. I mean, aren't you supposed to be chosen by Jehovah? How come another brother, Brother Noor, invited him to join the governing body? So anybody can freaking be invited.
Right.
I thought that was through Holy Spirit, just between, because that's another thing. See, this is the thing that I asked to me, ask them about. How do you know that the governing body is the governing body? How do you know? Oh, you're questioning things. You don't have faith and all that. And I'm like, no, I really want to know who my leaders are, because I'm listening and obeying everything they say. I need to know that who they really are. I mean, it was just common sense to it. For them was questioning. I was questioning them lack of faith and all that.
Right. Never question.
So they straightforward. Yeah, they straightforward call me an apostate, and that is an ugly word to say, especially me, that I actually try my best. I just have a legitimate question, a doubt that I am actually asking you, elders, who am I supposed to ask?
Right.
It's not like you can't, they are not even accessible. I did went visit Warwick. I'm here in New York. I did went there. Amazing. But I didn't met one governing body member. It would have been nice to ask them, but I'm pretty sure if I do, they will tell me the same thing. That's just between me and Jehovah. Like, basically, that's none of my business. Yet I have to listen to everything you say.
Right. Well, basically,
So
you
that,
are
right?
the problem child because you're asking questions, and they rather get rid of you quick before you spoil the rest.
Yeah, they did say that. They go like, the devil takes the weakest link of the congregation. And basically, because I'm a newly baptized, you know, I'm a baby, you know. So yeah. And now, and I actually had, this is funny. I actually had a Bible student that an elder confide me, because I was that good. He confide me a Bible student. And I'm here like really like on point with that Bible study. But then when I have, now I'm having all these doubts, I am not a hypocrite. How can I teach something that I'm already having doubts of? So now she calls me and she goes like, hey, are we going to have our Bible studies today? And I'm like, I don't think I can do that anymore. Because, you know, this and this and that. And she goes like, oh my God. Like, I just told her, I don't think I want to be a Jehovah's Witness anymore. So that kind of like disturbed her. So she happened. And this is another thing that I don't understand.
That's the last
because time. she is the mother of a sister who's married to an elder. She's the mother of this sister who's married to an elder, and they're pretty spiritual persons. So why she can't give Bible studies to her own mom?
Oh right.
You know? So you are here preaching, trying to get people from out in when you have people in that needs your help, and they delegate that responsibility to me. I mean, at first it was a privilege. I was like, oh my God, they trust me. You know, I felt great. But then, you know, you when you think a little bit more further, it's like, it's weird. Like, why would they do that? I would not have my son to get Bible studies from somebody else. My responsibility is my son. So they are family. They should be helping each other. So that didn't make sense to me. A lot of things that's not making sense. But anyway, so when I told her that, then the elder calls me. I didn't pick up. He calls me again. And that's when I pick up. Oh, that's pretty persistent. So he goes like, he was in his voice. I noticed that he was like concerned. And I'm like, hey, hi. And he goes like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm fine. A little disturbed though, because of the things that I am learning from the cult. And he goes like, yeah. And my mother-in-law is disturbed too. So, okay. So like, can you please ask me why I'm, yeah. So, you know, now they want a meeting with me. They want to meet with me. So we have this meeting again. And then a little after that, I confessed that I met another guy through a website also, and we were dating, you know, and we had sex and all that. So I'm here confessing my sins. I had sex with a guy, and now they're meeting me again. The committee discipline meeting, why do they call it judicial committee meeting?
Those things, yeah.
So I know, yeah. So I'm like, okay, and it's three elders and just me. You know, I'm just a girl with three men.
Right.
So yeah, they were talking, and they wanted to see what I was going to do about it. And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I don't see no reason to leave the guy. He's a good person. He's allowing me to stay here. We just had sex without being married. And, you know, they were trying to, Bible principles and all that, trying to convince me to change my mind, but that didn't happen. So they took the decision to disfellowship me. And I was fine with it. And the last that he said was, this is the house of Jesus. You know, that made me feel like dirt, made me feel awful, like the lowest thing on earth, you know. And then after that, the rest is history. Now I'm here trying to survive. I feel lost. I'm like, my parents won't talk to me at all. Nobody, you know. And the people who will talk to me, that will just to tell me the last words, please come back soon. Please straighten your life up and come back soon. You know. And no, I just left it as that, and little by little moved on, look for another path. And now I'm in a great place today. But it still hurts, the fact that, you know, like, I've been having these migraines these last week, and I've been emotional. And I don't know, I think it's a natural thing when somebody is sick, they just want mommy and daddy around. And I don't have that. I don't have that anymore.
Wow. So how was it growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, in the details and of things, like being in the hall with other, because you mentioned you didn't have friends outside, you didn't have friends inside either.
So, see, that's another thing. We are so busy with preparing to meetings and studying and preaching and all that, that they roughly made time to make these get-togethers for me to hang out with people my age. So, and I actually was telling mom, I need this. I need to socialize. I'm like, kid, but it really never happened. I never got close to nobody in the congregation. And at one point in school, in middle school, when I saw this sister, I saw her one at the, I think it was in a convention, and I saw that she was a Jehovah's Witness and she's playing volleyball with other friends that are not Jehovah's Witness, by the way. And I saw her and I thought that she was going to be welcoming and considerate and empathetic, and Jehovah's Witness has to stick together. So I try to join the feeling that she's going to have my back. No, she was the first one who did not allow me to play. I don't know. And boys, Jehovah's Witnesses too. I mean, we with them, I have two of those at one point in just in school. We kissed. We tongue kissed, and now we're all confused. I'm like, is this is okay? I mean, I know it wasn't, but it was fun. But I don't know, it's like that there's no un there's really no union in there. Like if something is wrong, it has to be wrong for everybody, something is like off here. Growing up, yeah, I was bullied all my life because I the attitude that I had to present myself as a good Christian, and the outfit has to be really like covering all most part of my body. So yeah, I get laughed at out of that, Yeah, I couldn't celebrate birthdays or anything. So yeah, I was an alien. It was strange to everybody.
So how did you feel about, because from being Jehovah's Witness, well, I'm ex-Jehovah's Witness now, but when I was Jehovah's Witness, these activities with those kids hanging out with worldly people and basically soliciting sex from you, those things are like worldly. So I'm kind of
Yeah.
being on the groups, I've seen different stories, and I've often shocked to hear what people went through or their stories because, hi, yes. So I'm kind of shocked seeing how, but when I got older, I've noticed how my siblings would live as well. But a younger of seven children, and I was pretty into it, and I was zealous. But as I got older, and I left, and I read those groups, I'm shocked seeing all those stories, how a lot of people were, they had worldly attitudes, and I never seen that, I guess, because I was a kid, and I didn't know all these things were happening, like the accent, the
Like
going
one
party.
time, let me see. Yeah, like one time I don't know how this actually happened, but I have a memory of meeting this man who affirmed that he was an elder, and we were talking like, as soon as you tell me you're Jehovah's Witness, I'm going to blindly trust you. And then you're an elder and you're talking to me, that's like, wow. So I'm trusting this person. And and we actually hang out together, and I'm jumping his car and all that. And now I'm feeling uncomfortable because he's like trying to get on me and touching me. And like, what is this? It's so confusing. And when I was studying at college at first, like when my mom was not selling, yeah, because that see that yeah, that's the other story. So did this couple, they're old couple, they are really spiritual persons, and I always looked up to them, and they have this son. I'm like 17 years old at that point. The son is 26, and she was always talking to me about her son. So she wanted to get me to visit them, and my mom she let me, but I had to go with my sister. And for our surprise, when we get there is him and his cousin. So it seemed like a double date type deal. Anyway, so yeah, I really at first didn't like him, but then I kept talking to him. But it's like the mom, she put me there in that situation, she wanted me for her son because I was a spiritual person. And she wanted me to fix her son. There's no fixing nobody. But I didn't know at that point what was going on. So when I met him, he's under electronic the bracelet, the home arrest thing. You know, that doesn't mean, I mean, come on, really? And then he's 26. He's already a man. He made up his mind. That's who he is. So he never got back. The son, it wasn't baptized. At that point, I don't think he was, but his parents were, you know, and he was living there. And yeah, she invited me over to meet her son, and all these things are happening, and he's smoking cigarettes, and then he's smoking marijuana. And then, you know, my mom, when I asked her to meet him, she, instead of talking to me or meet him and talking me out of it, like slowly, no, she just stopped driving me to college. I'm a fighter. I have to finish. So I will walk every day back and forth. And then those walks, there's a neighbor that he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he started giving me rides. So yeah, I will accept the rights. And eventually, now he puts a Madonna song in the radio saying that that's his favorite singer. And then he tells me that I look like her. So now what am I supposed to think? He likes me, you know, and he also tried to jump on me. I'm like, what the hell? You're supposed to protect each other. Oh, he was an old man.
Wow.
He was older. Like I'm 18. He had like maybe late 50s. You know, so yeah, never safe, you wow. know. And then when I hear about all these child sexual abuse unreported to the authorities, that killed me, because here you're saying that I had to respect the authorities, respect the transit lights, like red lights, don't eat and all that, you know, and simple shit like that. But they covered, you know, that's right. No, and I that was
because it seems like almost every man that you confined with who's supposed to be spiritual are the ones who's trying to have sex with you when they're supposed mm-hmm. to be a leader that you look up to. And then when you hear those stories,
yeah.
what are you going to do? Like, you're going to believe them because it's happening to you and you see it. Wow.
But if you say that to somebody else, they won't believe it, because how come? That's impossible.
They want a witness. They want a what? Third witness? Or how they go? Second witness?
Jehovah Witness. What do you mean?
No, that rule. Maybe those elders or those people, they were doing that because you needed a second witness to say, hey, it happened. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the witness. Yes, they won't believe just one person.
There right, has and to especially be another, I've talked to
maybe
a lot
two
of,
witnesses, I believe it is.
Yeah. I spoke to a lot of women how they said, they think, and I also think so, it's a gender thing. Because if you are the female, you're Bathsheba, you're Jezebel, you're the one who's still guilty, even if the man is trying to you, because there were no witnesses to be yeah. present.
Yeah, before. Like it's my fault that I'm so pretty, right? And innocent. It's my fault.
right. And then yeah, he just blamed yeah. them. Wow.
And it has to do with the way that I bring myself, because I will always, like, I'm used to, even now, actually do feel weird, not like showing some, like shorts, and I still am getting that. So I will always be dressed, like, you know, respectful of my body and covering it. So it's not like I'm showing off my body, provoking men on purpose.
Right.
You know,
I read a thing that says, don't teach women to be modest, or don't protect your daughters. Teach your sons to be respectful of basically of women. So instead of kind of like putting the blame on women and saying, be modest and cover your body, because I read a thing, even in Afghanistan or Pakistan, where all the women are covered, they're still victims. So is it how someone is dressed, or is it the man who's the problem? You know? Right. So they always right. gonna blame the women, unfortunately. So
right. I guess it's that way.
Yeah, and I'm glad that
that you out. It seems like you're very happy and you're glad as well. And of course, unfortunately, there's the family part and you get abandoned, but at the same time, you're free from that shackle, from that prison.
Yeah. I do want to mention at 11:58 today, I had a surprise message from an elder requesting a meeting with me. I don't understand why.
Why?
Maybe I'll update you later, okay, but sure. I don't know why. What I can say is that recently I was having problems with my son. He's good now, but like a neighbor called the cops on my baby, 13-year-old son. He was just playing with cans as Frisbee, but the problem was that he was playing around this neighbor's car and it got scratched. So she called the cops for that. So now I'm here, like, I've been having migraines and that kind of triggered too. So I'm like, you know, hurting and going through that situation. And I respect my parents not talking to me because they think they're doing the right thing. Okay. I haven't even attempted. Yeah. Messages here, but if they don't answer me back, that's fine. I don't, it's okay. But I'm doing my part. You know, I miss you. I love you. If you give me a chance to explain myself, I will, you know, so you can hear my side of the story, but no, none of that. So, okay, I respected that and I left them be. But now it's about my son. He's the innocent one. He has no play, no role in what's going on. So I call my mom, no answer. I called again, no answer. I think a normal person will figure out that if I call more than one time when I never called her, something must be going on. But that didn't happen. So that hurt me deeply. So now I posted a message on Facebook on my page. I never post personal stuff, but I did post that. I needed to let it out. And I am thinking that, because I put it public too, I'm thinking that maybe this elder came across that and I'm here banishing Jehovah's name. So he's trying to protect his name. That's my guess, because I don't see what else could it be. You know, right. I'm not coming back. I haven't said anything unless he wants to touch base with me and if I want to go back or not. I have no idea at this point. I don't even know if I should answer that text. Like, you know, I don't know. Right. It just happened now. What a coincidence before our meeting.
So yeah. When you left being Jehovah's Witness, did you have a conversation with your son about the whole thing? Because I assume he was Jehovah's Witness too at that age, right?
Yeah, he had to. Where
Mama goes, he has to go. How did he go?
Oh, he was so happy.
He was happy.
This is what he said. Finally, it's like a
no more meeting.
Oh, he hated it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, be Bible studies with him and then family worship. That is exhausting for a kid, you know, but here I am trying to do the right thing. So I remember even yelling at him right before the Bible study. So I'm like, you're going to sit down and you're going to pay attention and you're going to read it. You're going to, and then let's pray. Jehovah God, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was, No, that was horrible. So yeah, he was so relieved about it. So now we can celebrate birthdays. So now we can celebrate Christmas. Now can I have a BB gun?
Oh, you guys talked about it.
Yeah, he goes like, now we can celebrate birthdays. Now we can celebrate Christmas. Now I can have a gun for a toy, you know, all those things. Yeah, now can I still keep my friends, because I was like too icky about worldly friends. Nah, he was happy about it. Now, not too long ago, this blew my mind actually. He goes like, I miss Jehovah. He randomly said that not too long ago. Mom, I miss Jehovah. And I'm like, I think what you miss is your friends in the congregation. And he goes like, no, Mom, I miss Jehovah. I'm like, what do you miss about him? Well, because he's our God. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I believe there has to be some higher power out there. But let me see. Oh, then I asked, do you want to go back to the Kingdom Hall? You know, I'm here. I want to see what he thinks and his feelings. He goes like, no. He's just probably, you know, still believes that there is a God out there. But he don't want nothing to do with the Kingdom Hall.
Because he probably was raised in it too, right? 13 years, because you were raised as well.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So and maybe it's like fresh, it's like going to be rough for him. Yeah. It hasn't been a year yet. And November will be.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I think I recovered pretty well. Like in these pages that I actually am appreciative of Reddit and the Jehovah Unite, XJW Unite. I'm so grateful of that. But I hear like people that it's like worried about how long is this going to take? Because, you know, at the beginning, I'm like, oh my God, what is Armageddon going to come and I'm out, you know? Like, you know, that is okay about the higher education that they discourage so much. I studied this profession 2 years and that was it because I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go to Africa or somewhere there to preach. Same. And that was going to be my life. That was my goal. You know, I wanted to do anything to feel closer to Jehovah, basically to assure my survival. That's really all it was.
Right.
Like if I'm out there, I'll survive, you know? But yeah, they discourage that. But they have nurses in Bethel working. They have lawyers working. So it's like, it's just convenience, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with higher education. I mean, now that's why I'm going for my bachelor's now after 38 years old. And it is exhausting because I'm already have all these responsibilities, you know? I should have done that long time ago, but because of the cult, I stopped myself.
Well, and you're brave for doing it now too. But in a sense, and it's normal that you're grieving and it's so soon. It's kind of like ending a relationship, really. It was. But what you're doing is you're actually starting over and picking up your life and you're going to school and you're a nurse. That's amazing. And not even 12 months yet. That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And I think we're 10, because I have the same thing. I don't know if you do, but I think from what I got from the religion, we tend to be hard on ourselves. So you probably feeling that because
you're never good enough.
Right. But you're doing great.
Thank you. Yeah, that's another thing. I was never good enough. And especially with my relationship with my dad, like I don't know, I always am looking for his blessing all the time. And that never happened. So, you know, I'm like, Dad, I'm going to the Kingdom Hall. No celebration, no nothing. Dad, I am commenting. Dad, I'm preaching. I'm a non-baptized publisher. Dad, I made a part in the in the platform, those talks that you do with sisters, you know. Mm-hmm. And I even a sister took a video of my first talk, and I'm here all excited because everybody laughed, everybody applauded, so I did great. So now I'm you know, looking for my dad's blessing again. I show him the video, and the first thing he didn't even finish the whole video when he already saw a defect in it. You know,
and he was Jehovah's
Witness. And then now I'm getting baptized. Then my dad is a Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, that's why he don't talk to me. Yeah. So yeah, I show him the video. I'm expecting him to celebrate me. No, he saw an error. And then now I'm getting baptized, and that didn't faze him either. He didn't even went to my baptism. My baptism was in April, so COVID already hit in March. So it happened. They gave me a pool that I had to set inside my apartment. And one elder with his wife came, did the questions really quick, and put me in the water, put me out, and left. That was my baptism. He didn't even went, you know? So it's like, what is going to take for you to be happy with my accomplishments? It never happened. I was never good enough. So I always have that thing with me. Like, am I doing good? Am I okay? Is this how I'm supposed to be doing things? Like, I don't even know if I'm normal. You know, what is normal? You know? Never good enough. Never.
So how they divorced?
But now that I don't have.
Sorry.
So, no, you're fine. My mom wasn't baptized. My dad was. My mom wanted to marry my dad, so she rushed to her baptism just to marry my dad. Apparently, before they got married, my mom slept with somebody else. I don't know if she admit that after they got married. I don't know how the story is, but so then I don't know. They were young. Their relationship wasn't that great. They were cheating on each other back and forth. You know, like my mom will cheat, then he will cheat to get back at her. Then she'll keep cheating to get back at him, and it was a stupid game until my dad decided to divorce her. What? What was that?
I was going to say, I don't think they were real Jehovah's Witnesses, but then I'm thinking, well, that sounds like what Jehovah's Witnesses do, having a mask. So maybe they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Maybe the people who actually follow the rules are different kind of people. They're not actual Jehovah's Witnesses.
I think there's better people out there. But yeah, so now, I mean, they're doing all this, fornicating, adultering. My dad asked for a divorce because now he has base for a divorce. I mean, he had the base long time ago. But anyway, he wanted to make sure that my mom will agree that the divorce would be due to adultery so my dad can feel free to remarry. You know, like, it's like they are faithful to certain rules, but others, they don't care. It's like, you had to follow every single rule. Like, it was okay to, you know, to divorce under adultery, and it was okay to cheat on each other back and forth. But when it comes to the divorce, it has to be adultery because that's the real base from Bible perspective, you know. And I just, it's whatever. Now he's in a relationship. He's married for 20 some years, and he's not even happy with the person. The person is not a Jehovah's Witness, by the way.
Hashtag I can't.
She's not a Jehovah's Witness.
Is that possible? Hold on. So
confusing. And my mom, on the other hand, she did marry also with not a non-Jehovah Witness. Her excuse was that she was inactive at that time, but that doesn't mean you don't know, you don't have the knowledge that that's wrong. Eventually, you will probably want to go back to your religion. You're stuck with a worldly person,
right? So basically, they're living.
But now here, these are these are my parents that are expecting perfection out of me. I think I'm doing way better than they are.
Yeah, funny thing you say that.
Yeah.
Funny thing you say that when you're talking about your dad, and of course I don't know him, but based on the story, I'm getting the hint and the energy that they're jealous of your progress. That's why he's like shushing you and not paying attention and not caring. Because if you're not feeling threatened by someone else's progress, you're going to celebrate them. But if you're threatened, you're going to act like it didn't happen, and you're not going to give it validation. And that's what I'm seeing and hearing. Because
maybe you're right.
Like, why would they do that? And based on what you're saying with their behaviors, it's very worldly and non-Jehovah's Witness codes. If you are
hypocritical.
Yeah.
Totally hypocritical. And he was trying to, you know, to be like faithful to it. And it's funny how I went to a birthday party and invited my cousin that is under here, and she goes like, oh no, I don't want Jay to be in a birthday party. But yet she was buying cigarettes for another cousin of mine.
Yeah. It's very interesting, but you know, it's human. I was talking to someone and they said they switched to another religion and how they are not religious, but they want to go back into something structural, and it's how it's better how they can just live their life and go to church on Sunday because they need that presence and just live their life without anyone witch hunting them. And I'm like, you know what? That's better than trying to fake it for an organization when you know you don't comply, you don't want to comply. And then you go home and you do your thing anyway. And when you go to the hall, right, you have a mask on. So I think the way she's doing it is so much better for her because she can be herself without having a mask and still go and be accepted because when you go to a church, no one cares. They preach, here's pass the money. Okay, go home, live your life. And
that's one thing that I also noticed, preach how God is love and all that, right? But they love you. They do. They love bombard you. That's what they do, you know? But it's a conditional love.
Yes, yes.
It's not an unconditional love that I will love you no matter what. And that unconditional love, I found it in the world. You know, I have this best friend and now I like have her like my sister. And now I have like this home to go to because she's always there and so welcoming and all that. And oh my God, I remember, I actually had to appreciate, I had to apologize to her and everything because back then, she will invite me to her son's birthday, you know, so my son can go and play. And I will say, no, I forbid my son to hang with him because he likes to watch boxing and that's violent and that's bad, you know, and still like when I got out with my tail between my legs, I came back to her and she received me with open arms. Like none of that happened. You know, and she loves me so deeply. And oh my God, this like, I got the chills. It's amazing how love really exists out there, you know, unconditional love. And that's what we need. Every single human needs that love.
Yep.
And you don't find that in that cult.
No. And they don't want you to have that. They hope you die and depressed and lonely. And they said the world is evil. No one's gonna love you, and it's a lie. It's a lie.
It is a lie. Like when I was in, I was working for this old lady, and she was living with her daughter and the daughter. You know, it was a complete family. It was the husband, and they were married, legally married, a husband, a wife, and a son, and I was caring for her mother that lived there. I was impressed with the unity of that family, how they had their shit together. The house clean, how every single member cooperates so they can function as a family. I was like, holy shit, how can you do that if you're not a Jehovah's Witness?
Right.
Yeah, when you are Jehovah's Witness, you really don't see it.
Right. And then when you when you go to the convention and the memorial, everyone's like this.
Yes!
And then when you go home and your home is like World War V, so you're thinking, is it only my home or don't I wish to be in that person's? And then to come and find out, it's almost everybody's home is World War III. It's just a facade. Yeah. And only, you know what sad is? Only if they actually lived up to the mask they wear, because it would actually be that angelic, because that's what the facade they have.